God expects us to have persistence in prayer. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thanks for tuning in today. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, as we continue in our series on prayer. Now, we learned from Daniel that persistence in prayer pays off. We know that he prayed for 21 days for an answer to prayer, and that's in Daniel 9. Yet on the first day he prayed, the angel was sent to provide an answer to Daniel. Unfortunately, the angel was delayed in coming. Why the delay? Well, we learn that a prince of Persia, likely a very powerful demonic entity, kept this godly messenger at bay for 3 weeks. There are spiritual beings more powerful than some of God's own angels. That much is clear. All the while, Daniel knew nothing of the supernatural battle that was taking place in the heavenly realms. He was unaware of how real it was and of the need for Michael the archangel to come and help the messenger so that he could carry the answer to Daniel. Had the angel not explained the reason for the delay, not only to Daniel, but we too would still be in the dark. So why did God allow this angel to be so accosted and kept at bay for 3 weeks, only to find his freedom to continue on to Daniel with the answer after Michael fought for his release? Well, if we look at the truth of Daniel 9, we see the importance of that particular passage. In fact, it is the only passage in all of Scripture that deals with the 70 weeks and the details noted therein by the angel. The 70 weeks here are directly connected to the nation of Israel and are extremely important. They tell of the times of the Gentiles and how Jerusalem and the Holy Mount, or the Temple Mount, will be trodden under the feet of Gentile nations until the end of human-led history. Now, moreover, this period of time details the rise of the Antichrist and the final 7 years of human history known as the Tribulation. It was because of Daniel's righteous prayer that he was heard and an answer to his questions was given. Now, with this knowledge, is it any wonder that the prince of Persia did not want the angel to arrive to Daniel with the answer to his prayers? Of course he would do his best to keep that answer from arriving, even if it meant keeping the angel at bay for as long as possible. In this case, 21 days, 3 weeks. Once Michael arrived, the prince of Persia was overcome, which allowed Gabriel to go on his way. Now, I also think it is telling that Gabriel knew, or the angel knew, we don't know for sure that it was Gabriel, but whoever the angel was, I think it's telling that this particular angel knew that upon his return to the throne of God, he would again be hammered by another prince, demonic entity, who would attempt to keep him from getting back to the throne. What this tells me is that not all angels are alike. Some are certainly more powerful than others. Is this why Jesus tells us to be persistent in prayer? Luke 18, 1 through 8. And this seems to be the case. There is something about persistent, consistent prayer that rises to the throne. Maybe it has to do with the fact that the angels who carry our prayers to God's throne are often accosted along the way. But this brings us to another question. Can God not hear our prayers until the angel relays the message? Of course he can, without doubt. However, there is a procedure that God has obviously put into place that captures our prayers and guides them to the throne of grace. So, if it takes time for our prayers to get there, I guess physically, quote unquote, what is the purpose of that? Well, there can only be one answer. Faith. It is to build up our faith in God and his ability to hear and respond to our prayers. You know, it's tempting to think that Satan has more power than he does. It is tempting to think that our prayers are answered based on our ability to pray persistently. I don't believe this to be the case at all. God uses time to build up our faith just as he did with Daniel. There was no chance that Daniel's prayer was not going to be answered. It was merely a matter of time until the answer reached Daniel. Now, in today's day and age, we do not have angels appearing to us with an answer from God's throne. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit who is always before God's throne since he is God. And as the Father is God, and as the Son is God. Now, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, he not only knows the prayers of our heart, but helps us when we don't even know how to pray Romans 8:26, John 14:26, and Galatians 4:6. There are situations in our lives that require concerted effort, if for no other reason than to continue to remind us of areas in our life that God needs to have control of and of which we need to let go. There are times when we need to spend time in prayer simply praising Him for His answer to prayer, whether we know what the answer is or not. Praising God in all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, is probably the very best way that I know of to let God have control of circumstances and situations. Now, I've given some examples as we've been doing this series, but there are others. Recently, I was praying that God would open doors that seemed closed, but that it also seemed He wants open. I'm not sure what those doors are, but I feel certain that if He wants them open, it will happen. Is it a case of me simply being involved in wishful thinking that God wants something that He does not? Is it a case of spiritual entities fighting against God's will to keep His will from happening? I believe it is the latter rather than the former. So, if that's the case, then what can be better than praising Him for His will, even though it appears to be yet unfulfilled? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night He was betrayed, He prayed for options. He presented His request to the Father with the proviso that His, and only His, the Father's will be done. Jesus had wants, but He never allowed those wants to supersede the Father's will in the matter. The fact that Jesus said, "Not mine, but thy will be done," proves this beyond doubt. Now, in essence, Jesus was able to let go of His wants for the exclusivity of the Father's will. How can human beings do this? Through praise. When we give thanks for something we are not particularly happy about, we are in the process of letting that situation go. If we continue to hang on to our wants, either it will appear as though God will not move, or He will move to perform His will, and we will be unable to accept and receive it. Now, in the situation that I noted regarding God wanting to open doors for me to walk through, it's my responsibility to praise Him for His will. It is in praising Him that I am able to let go and let God complete His will. If God wants me to be in a holding pattern, per se, then that's what He wants. And what is that to me? If God is going to wait months or years before the things He has me praying about come to pass, what is that to me? It is clear, then, that the length of time before He moves is completely His to ordain. If I get frustrated in the meantime, continuing to think that because God has placed something on my heart, He must mean it for it to happen very soon, then I'm setting myself up for failure. God does not often tell us ahead of time of His timing. We may get a sense of His timing in general terms, but that may be all. As the time approaches, we may get a sense of things being narrowed down. Now, suppose God had me waiting 3 years before He opens doors. In the meantime, I'm doing other things that He has prepared for me, so I believe I'm still performing His will. If He is preparing me to move in another direction, I must remember that rarely, if ever, does God give us only a one-day notice. More often than not, He gives us plenty of time to become acclimated to the perfection of His will. He knows our frame and that we came from dust. He knows our weaknesses and deficiencies. He brings us along gently, slowly, and consistently. Our job is to trust Him, and once again, the best way to trust Him is through a continual attitude of prayer and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. Now, if instead of praying that He will open the doors He plans to open, I spend time praising Him for the perfection of His will and the timing of that will, then I am in His will because I am proving to Him that I am trusting Him in all things, especially the timing. I learned years ago that the best way to prove to God that we are trusting Him is through praise. We may not feel like it when we start to praise Him, but this sacrifice of praise will soon turn into a reality that we did not know could exist. Psalm 50:14. It is a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving when we do not understand and even find it difficult to agree with, but we praise Him anyway because we believe He knows best. This is exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He essentially thanked God the Father for the perfection of his will, and he accepted it. It was in the act of saying, "Father, not my will, but thine be done," that Jesus praised the Father for that will. Jesus knew that the Father's will was best, beyond reason, though he shrank from the coming trials, pain, and the ultimate separation from God that would befall him. Jesus ultimately fully submitted himself to the Father. There is no greater sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving is something the Lord wants to see in all of his children. We do not know the path intimately until we get there. The problem, though, is that we often think we know better than God about the many situations in our lives. He wants us to forget about our lives, take up our cross, and follow him on a daily basis. This tells me that he does not want me to be preoccupied with the things that concern my life, but to be occupied within the confines of his will. You know, Satan loves to get our minds on ourselves. He wants us to spend time agonizing over this thing or that with respect to our lives. The problem is that doing this keeps us from spending our lives fully involved in God's will. So I believe that God wants to open doors. I can spend a good amount of time praying that he would open those doors, or I can spend a good amount of time praising him for the fact that he's going to open doors when and how he sees fit. So every time I'm tempted to think about it, dwell on it, and even become frustrated about those doors that appear to be closed, I have two choices. I can pray hard that he will open them, or I can offer praise to him for his will and his timing. By doing the former, I tend to hang on to it. With the latter, I tend to let it go for his safekeeping. I think what I'm describing is what someone has called the faith rest life of a Christian. By offering praise in all things, I am letting go of my wants. I am exercising faith in his ability to get his will accomplished. I am also resting in the fact that doors will open when they are supposed to open. Do you see that? This is the mark of a mature Christian, and I'm certainly not saying that I'm there yet or that I'm there consistently. I'm saying that this is the mark which we strive to reach. I believe that this is the mark that Jesus aimed for and reached every day, and especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. Had he continued to ask God to remove the cup from him without adding the proviso about God's the Father's will being done, it would have amounted to sin. Jesus would have been guilty of putting his will ahead of the Father's will. This is sin. It stems from our own ego, thinking that we know better than God does. Of course, Jesus passed the test with flying colors. Though he wanted to shrink from what was coming his way, he submitted himself perfectly to the Father's will, and he knew exactly what that meant in this case. As Christians, the best of our prayers can be found in praising him for his will, even when our wants do not coincide with that will. I believe there will always be an element of the unknown when it comes to this prayer and this prayer in this life. Paul said we see through a glass darkly in 1 Corinthians 13:12. This is how it is, which is why faith is so important. The best evidence of our faith is in praising him for those things which we cannot see. And that's our prayer. That's our prayer for today. That's our praise for today. And folks, that's our show for today. I thank you for joining me as we continue in this series on prayer, and we're going to continue it some more. We're not done yet. We have more episodes to bring you on prayer. And in the meantime, you can check out my website for books and other audios, www.studygrowknow.com. And in the meantime, may the Lord open your eyes to show you how blessed you richly are.
Demons in disguise, Nephilim nightmare, politics, Islam, and the end times, interpreting the Bible literally, the pre-trib rapture. These are just some of the books written by Dr. Fred DeRuvo, host of Study Grow Know on AM 950 K-High. Whether it's the tribulation, the rapture, politics, Islam, or the end times itself, Dr. Fred DeRuvo offers his conservative and biblical perspective on these and other subjects. Look for his books on Amazon.com or at StudyGrowKnow.com.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.